Good. Okay. So, warm welcome to the subject of overcoming insecurity. And I'm afraid I have to give apologies from Antonella Ferrari because there was a bit of a mix-up with the dates. I think she was given the fifth, but of course today is the sixth, so it easily happens. But she really wants to come and share with us, so she's going to join us in October, early October, for a session, quite possibly to go much deeper into this topic. I don't know. That's we have to finally conclude that one. But so your speaker today is not Antonella Ferrari, but it is Mark. So I hope to do good justice to this subject, which is really a wonderful topic in the sense that security is, or the need for security, you could say, is the fundamental driving force in the human being. It's deep within our psyche. So an incredible important thing there. So before I get started fully, I'd just like to give a little introduction in case anyone is new here. Introduction to the Lighthouse. We're a retreat center on the seashore of Worthing. Well, not the seashore, of course, but on the parade of houses that face the seashore, and provide all sorts of courses and events on meditation and self-development, and they're currently doing everything online like most other people. And of course, we can reach far many of you like that as well, and have p speakers from all over the world. Like Antonella is from Italy, Bologna. And so we'll be continuing to do that as well. And myself, I've been on a kind of path of self-development for probably 35 years or so, maybe even 40 years actually. Yeah, more than 40 years. Reading and studying things to do with developing the power of the mind, understanding consciousness. And in the early days, in a very simplistic way. And later on in life, in mid-20s, late 20s, I got a lot more serious in my kind of both my need and also my interest in understanding the deeper secrets of consciousness or the self and the world around me. And that led me to Brahma Kumaris, whom I learned meditation from. I had dabbled a little bit beforehand, but I found the meditation they taught one which was very pragmatic and seemed very logical and systematic. So it ticked the boxes for me. And here I am, I'm now actually teaching it after all these years. So that's enough about me. Many of you know me anyway, but the subject of overcoming insecurity, what I thought I'd do this time in today's session, we've got an hour together, just a bit less. So I thought, why not make it an experiential? In fact, someone recommended this approach as a way of doing things. So I thought we would have, I would share a little bit about the topic and about how to overcome insecurity. And then we can have some meditations based on that. So a little bit of sharing, a little meditation, a bit more sharing, a bit more meditation. So how does that sound? And I want to give a thumbs up. Or thumbs down if you don't think it's a good idea. Thumbs up for Marcus, Caroline, Emma. Right, so I don't see any thumbs down, so I take that as, and Vicky, I take that as a green light for that approach. Very good. Okay, so I'm actually going to start off with a little meditation because I think most people are here now who intend to join. So, in order to meditate, I know you're in different circumstances, in your places, and there's probably many distractions around you. But maybe for the next few minutes, you could just focus your mind, and if your eyes are open, just rest your eyes on one place, and not a place which stimulates thoughts, like a photo, or an eye, or some ornament, but focus or rest your eyes on something that is very neutral, like the carpet. And if your eyes are closed, then that's fine. So now in this state, this relaxed state, Take a deep breath in and breathe out, slowly relaxing completely. And breathe normally. And just allowing every sign of tension or tightness in the body to release and let go. So very consciously releasing, relaxing. And just noticing in your body where there might be tightness or tension, and accordingly, consciously relaxing, release. And sometimes you can even become aware of particular tight spots or painful places, and it's simply because you've relaxed a lot more of your body, so they're standing out more than anything else. So relax. And now I want you to imagine, regardless of what situations you're in at the moment, regardless of the condition of your body or your finances or your work or your relationships, regardless of what has happened before, regardless of any concerns of the future, just for a few seconds, couple of minutes, allow yourself to drop all of those concerns and bring your attention to your inner state of being. Bring your attention to the awareness of I, the spiritual energy, the living energy. And you can say, the real you, living being, sits in the forehead of the body. And I'd like you to imagine what it would feel like if you felt deep down very secure. Just imagine that all the awareness of difficulties was washed away. All ongoing problems had been washed away. Just imagine feeling so secure, so peaceful. And imagine that as a vibration all around you. Imagine that as a feeling in your mind. Security, safety. Very much allowing that secure feeling to penetrate deeper inside. And ask the self what safety means, what security means to you. What does it mean to feel secure? What does it mean to feel safe? And just imagine feeling that security and safety. How would you go about your day coming from a place of security, safety? How would you approach the challenges in life? How would you approach difficult people? How would you get on with the opportunities given to you in life? So take note of all the good feelings, positive feelings. So merge them deep inside. Om Shanti. So, thank you for joining me in that little meditation. Just to set the scene for security. And you may have had some experiences. Of course, it's not an opportunity to ask all of you individually. But some of you may have felt something. Some of you may not have felt anything particular. But by giving time to explore yourself, explore the inner feelings, then you can actually start to clarify for the self what these qualities mean or what these states of being mean. Like security, we know the word, we have an idea of what it means, certainly on a physical level, but what is actually a feeling? I'm looking for a feeling. And I think this is the key point. In fact, if you take nothing else back from this talk, I would say this is the key point, that security is a feeling. So I'm looking to feel secure. And all the things I might do to try and experience security, like business, work for financial security, qualify certain relationships in order to feel secure. Sometimes we can get married because we want to feel secure, or stay in a job because it's secure. So many things we would do and many things we avoid doing in order to experience or feel secure. So what actually is that? So it's a good thing to be sure, what am I actually looking for? And the subject is overcoming insecurity. And so we're going to look into that, but I think we really need to define what is security and what is insecurity. So what does security look like, feel like? What would be the qualities when you're feeling secure? Perhaps there would be peacefulness. Perhaps there'd be calmness, stability. You're very welcome to put in the chat if anyone has any thoughts on the subject. Safe, says Vicky. The big one, isn't it? Feeling safe. So anyone at any time, you're very welcome to share your thoughts on this. Protected, maybe. Freedom, says Audrey. Yeah, freedom, isn't it? In security, there's freedom. Peaceful and relaxed, says Caroline. Snehal says F. Freedom, maybe? Being at peace, happiness. Wonderful.
Says, Mark, is fly. I write it down to fly.
Fly. Okay, thank you very much, Fly.
Thanks.
Thank you, Snehal. The fly. So you feel you're flying, like, as in free, flying. Thank you. So it's good to just clarify for yourself. Like, we've got a composite of ideas. Katrina saying, knowing that one is loved and cared about. That's security, yes. So it's a feeling, isn't it? Security is a feeling. So what's the difference between being safe and secure? For me, it's the same. Okay, so there, it's very similar, isn't it? Maybe slight different nuance in the deeper meaning, but very similar. And I think that's in life in general, to be aware what we're actually looking for. What am I trying to experience? And you may have, if you've listened to anything I said before, I think that comes up quite a lot, because I'm very much aware that we can be chasing after attainments in life or trying to protect ourselves. And really what we're looking for is a feeling. But because we're not focused, we know the feeling, we know what we're looking for in the sense of we're gravitating towards trying to get to some place. But I think by and large, we don't generally clarify what specifically am I looking for? What does security look like and what is actually insecurity? So hopefully by the end of this hour we've got together, we'll be quite clear on that and know how to shift our attention. Now, having looked at those feelings of security, what does insecurity look like? What is insecurity? And again, you're very welcome to share. Help me out a bit if you want to. What is insecurity? Well, it's hesitancy, isn't it? It's feeling unsafe, fear, says Audrey. Yeah, definitely fear is a big thing to do with insecurity. Fearful, says Carol. Thinking the worst, Vicky, yes. That's now I'm sure a lot of people here have got the that habit, thinking the worst. Maybe not in a grand scale, but day to day, thinking the worst, even like little appointments or little things you're doing, an attitude of failure, thinking the worst. Low self-esteem, says Selma. Yeah.
Very what much. The people's going to say about if I fail on this, like if I fail something, what the people's going to, how are they going to judge me? That's the thing.
How people are going to judge me, right?
If you fail.
Yeah, so fear of people's judgment, other people's judgment. Easily swayed, says Marcus. Worry, lack of confidence from Catherine. So thank you very much. You really you've responded lovely to all of those. It's a nice collection of aspects related to insecurity. So now, if we look, I mean, obviously there's the kind of replies that everyone is given, but each one of us can probably relate to a greater or lesser extent to each and every one of those. And so if we qualify for ourselves, what is security and what is insecurity as a feeling and as a state of being or a state of mind, then I know very clearly what I'm looking for. Generally, the accepted fundamental negative emotion in human beings today is a lack of self-worth, a feeling of worthlessness. Now, it will be operating in people at different levels and in different ways, but in psychology, they generally accept that that is one of the most powerfulest root causes of many, many psychological issues and emotional instability. So Katrina's adding lack of control and ability to predict the future. Yes, affects decision making, very much so. A fearful mind. And in business, they often say a worried money never wins. So it really does affect every aspect of our life. So we have a natural alignment or a natural kind of direction to achieve success in life. Most of us will do something because we believe it leads to a better life, better experience, or we're doing something because we believe that it will eliminate a certain negative tendencies or experiences. Like you might leave your job either because you feel you're going to somewhere better, or it could be more because you feel that's just not working for you, you don't like, you know, there's a lot of difficulty with someone in there. So it's that age old profit and loss, attraction repulsion syndrome. So how does this affect us on security and insecurity? Well, I think from my experience and also my studies on myself, that so long as we maintain our attention mainly on the physical, we will never get secure. And you only have to look at people who've got a lot of wealth, then actually often what comes with it is more insecurity. Now, it's not that wealth is related to insecurity, but they know there's more people after it. So they have to live in fenced communities and more alarms and all this kind of thing. So wealth in itself doesn't buy security. It buys security from the point of view of, you know, you've got enough, sufficient, but it doesn't buy real inner security. Or relationships. We can look to other people to feel secure. And I know people who've got a lot of good relationships with parents or siblings or children or friends, and if most of those are going quite well and they're quite loving and supportive, then the person usually feels very secure, and that is a security, no doubt, and it's very, you know, very good to maintain. But of course there's going to be a but. The but is, on a deeper level, you can't rely on it. Because people come and go, people change, you change, and everyone's got their own difficulties and issues. So actually, if I'm relying on people, I can feel kind of secure, but underneath it, I know there's not real security. Or I can rely on my health, and we can do a lot for the health, and that's very good, but of course, we don't know from one day to the next. So many blessings for continued good health, or good health, or moving to good health if you don't have it. So very best wishes towards that. At the same time, we can't rely on that for our security. And so we can go on. All of the physical aspects, we definitely want them in our life, and makes absolute sense. A life without them is not very enjoyable, but at the same time, to be completely dependent is not really going to work. I know one lady who has, who's very confident in herself, actually, normally, but she has so much support from the things in life. She's got about 75-ish, but she's very particular about the hair, and the nails, and the sun lounge, and diet, and all of these things. And because of lockdown, she wasn't able to have her hair done, nails done, and whatever else it was she wanted to do. And so it became a very kind of difficult reality check, how much she was dependent on all of these external things for support, for basically a feeling of security, plus the job. The job can give you an incredible sense of security, especially if you've got a good job, pays well, and people are respecting you. I mean, what more do you want? It's wonderful, no? From that job perspective. And absolutely, if that's working for you, then keep on going. But, this but, it's not unlimited. And so where I'm going with this, real security, true security, the spiritual kind of security, which actually trumps every other kind of security, is the one that comes from the awareness of actually what you've already got. And this is the amazing scenario or dilemma, in that we spend so much time looking outside to try and achieve security, building structures, making connections, accumulating money and whatnot, in order to feel secure. But real security is based on the awareness of who you really are, along with your original qualities. So what I'd like to do now is explore that a little bit more. So just checking in with you, are you all good so far? Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good, okay. Very, thank you, Vicky, as well, very good. Emma, fantastic. So, now we're all on the same page pretty much. Let's explore deeper aspects of this security, and then we'll have another little meditation. The first and foremost way of experiencing security on a deep level is the understanding, and more than that, the experience of what and who you really are. Now, I know, recognize many of your names, so I know many of you have come to many of the talks and sessions that we do, and so you'll be familiar with this idea: the self is the soul. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but just a few minutes to refresh and present this idea, because it's the key to deep security. So the understanding is, here sits your body. You are sitting wherever you're sitting. There is your body. You have a certain clothing on your body. You're relaxed, you're listening. So that's your body. But who is the one who's actually listening right now? Who is the one experiencing this moment? Who is the one who says, I'm a man or a woman, I'm this or that, I'm white or black or whatever, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Jewish, whatever? Who is the one who says, I am a dentist, a pharmacist, a shop worker, or whatever? Who is the one who says that? So it's the soul. So this simple understanding, I am a subtle energy inside of this body. And everyone knows me personally, me, as Mark. Because for all intents and purposes I am, but this is the physical. But I am the soul sitting here in the body called Mark. So this fundamental kind of realignment of key identity is the, you say, the master plan to being free from insecurity. It's the key to unlimited security, because the soul or consciousness, the spirit if you like, is non-physical and indestructible, eternal. So this is the aspect of the self which we would only be able to know through spiritual study, spiritual experience. And yet at the very same time, it seems so mystical and subtle and metaphysical, but in a very practical way, you are the soul listening right now. You are the soul who does the work through the body. You're the soul who has a cup of tea and a biscuit. You're the soul who does everything, looking through the eyes. So the soul is operating the body in a very practical and real way. So it's the whole world is souls in bodies. But the wonderful, or maybe not wonderful, but amazing thing is, the whole world is forgotten. And even those who do appreciate the idea of the soul within science, that they try and find it through physical methods of scientific experimentation, which of course don't work, because the soul is not physical. It can't be found in that way. You'll never find it. So this first awareness, I am a soul, that is the key to deep security. And not only are you a soul, but also you're a soul who is having inherent qualities. And just to mention a few, love, peace, power, happiness, wisdom, many more are there too. So these are the qualities within the soul which are inherent. And so you don't have to go anywhere outside to find them, but you do have to look within and hold your attention on yourself in order to allow those experiences to rise up out of you to the surface of your mind. To allow yourself to feel, I am peace. I am love. I am power. So it's not like trying to convince yourself. It's about recognizing and understanding and experiencing. So when that happens, you're now shifting rapidly and powerfully to a state of security. Because when you're aware you're a being of light, a soul, and you're experiencing the fundamental qualities that we've all spent so long trying to find externally, then why would you not feel secure? So this is one of the fundamental aspects. So I thought, let's now have a little meditation on that, shall we? So, sitting very relaxed, which I'm sure you are anyway, but just as a reminder, taking a deep breath in and out, relax, allowing the whole body to relax, let go. Now bringing the attention of yourself up the body to the center of the forehead, the seat of consciousness, appreciating there is a subtle energy inside here, inside the forehead. That the real you who's experiencing this moment is actually sitting in the forehead of your body. That you, the living being, are actually spiritual energy. And that you, the living being, the soul, have always existed. Existed before the body was created and shall exist after its demise. And to appreciate or understand the soul is like a shining star. You can't actually see it. You can understand the self as a soul, a shining star. And to appreciate I, the living being, the eternal form of light and the light of peace, power, love, happiness. And to ask the self, What's the feeling of being conscious of the self as subtle light, light of peace? Light of peace, light of love. To allow those feelings to fill the mind. Full of love, full of peace. I, the soul, being of light. And whatever feelings have emerged or insights gained, absorb those into the self. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. So now let's move on a little step further. We've clarified that insecurity is very much based on physical consciousness and becoming dependent on external things and people and events, etc. We've clarified that security really comes from knowing yourself as a spiritual being and having or experiencing these inherent qualities of the soul. But there's a few more aspects which are available to us to enhance our security. Now, for all of us, stuff happens. Yeah? And stuff happens usually, well, it happens regularly every day. But sometimes there's big stuff and sometimes there's small stuff. And sometimes stuff happens all of a sudden out of the blue. Now you get a phone call and suddenly things are very different. Or March this year, that like came out of the blue, didn't it? One moment there's this strange thing going on in China, and then within a few days suddenly the world was cracking down on everyone. Lockdown was worldwide. What's going on? So out of the blue. So we need an approach, we need an understanding and an attitude or outlook that is going to be sufficient to deal with things that come out of the blue. Well, even if it's not out of the blue, and the search, maybe even if it's something you can see happening, you still want to be able to deal with it. In fact, sometimes when you see something happening, it can paralyze you because it's just like getting looming bigger and bigger. So you want to be able to act free from influence. So there's a couple of principles here I really want to share with you. And it's one is something you've all heard, I'm sure, in one form or another, and that is that you have nothing to lose. You own nothing, you lose nothing. You came with nothing, you came naked, you will exit with nothing. Or came naked, go naked, as the saying goes. So the soul came into this world without anything, and of course we're exiting without anything. And in between coming and going, we accumulate all sorts of things. So as a baby infant, you may have certain entitlements and the baby clothes ready for you when you arrive, in most cases anyway. And so you're looked after very well, and then you become adult and start sorting things out for yourself. And so life goes on. But we all know without a shadow of a doubt that these bodies have a finite lifespan. The soul on the other hand doesn't have a finite lifespan, because the self, the soul, is eternal. The soul is non-physical, so it's not subject to material law. The experiences we have are subject to material law, being in the physical world, but the soul itself is not a physical thing. So we have this appreciation of a word. It's a word called drama. And this word drama really means that we are enacting a play. We're enacting a part in this wonderful, unlimited drama of life. And this part is, each one of us has our own one to play, and it's in real time, real life. So all of you there and me here, we are all playing a part as this moment is passing by. And so it's a living drama. Now, when we have that attitude that it's a living drama, then on one level it means it is a play. So just like an actor comes onto the stage, the actor goes off the stage in a physical drama in a theatre. So too the soul comes into this world, we have a body, and we play the part. And ultimately, we leave the stage. So this is a very simple but powerful understanding, that when we embrace it deeply, it gives us a very different perspective on life. That every moment is valuable, every moment is dynamic, every moment can be rich, every moment is an opportunity for new experience, and at the same time, no attachment. I'm passing through. It's a stage. And while on the stage, just like any actor, everything is there for the actor to play his part. So everything you need for the part you are playing, you have. A king has a soul who's playing the part of a king has a palace and a kingdom, and the soul who's playing the part of a beggar has not very much at all, because he doesn't need it. So everyone is playing their part. Now, we don't know about anyone else's part, why they got such and such a part. There are ways of understanding some aspects of that. But if we just hold the idea, I am a soul and I have my own part to play. And the beauty of having this knowledge at this time is now I can literally play my part, whereas beforehand I was trapped in the part. It's like being so attached to Mark that I'm trapped in the consciousness of Mark. And when I'm trapped in Mark consciousness, that automatically creates insecurity. Because the bottom line is, Mark is not going to last forever. When his sell-by date's up, I don't know. Not sell-by, use-by date. When his final moment is, I don't know. No idea. But it's going to be some date. And then I, the soul, and body of Mark, the body Mark, has to part company. So just entertaining or appreciating that kind of spiritual truth gives us a very different perspective on life. Enables us to live rather than to struggle. It enables us to play. And I've applied this in my life very consciously, and I can tell you from my own experience that when I'm holding the awareness, I am a soul, then I am peace, and I am power, and I've got this part that I'm playing, but I'm not attached to, then I'm free, I'm light, I'm easy, I feel secure. But when I forget that, and I'm just Mark conscious, suddenly all the insecurities start to work and make me dance. and then it's like a struggle. So from personal experience, I can safely say that using that consciousness of the actor in the drama helps so well, makes a huge difference. So that's one aspect, drama, and not having anything to lose. And I just want to give another angle on this, a kind of a grand finale for being secure. And this is going to take a little bit of a shift or a leap in awareness. But we're here on this earth. We are souls in our bodies. And that alone brings a certain level of security. But where does the soul actually come from? Where are you actually going to go? And that is to this world known as the soul world. So it's an understanding, idea that spiritual beings, souls, come from a spiritual world. And in the West, there's very little reference to it. I think heavenly abode might be the closest you can get. But in the East, it's common understanding. It's so well versed or documented. They know this place as the supreme abode, the silence world, the peace world, the world of liberation, the world of immortality, the supreme abode, and so the incorporeal world, Brahm element. And that's just a few. There's many other names. So it's really well known in Eastern philosophy. It's very interesting. And that place or abode is like another dimension. So you certainly could never get to it by rocket ship. We're still working on Mars, let alone beyond the universe. But you can get to it in a second through the power of thought. So it's like you're projecting your consciousness there. And really, you're not actually going there, but you're going into your memories. Because every soul in the world has a deep, ancient memory of a place of silence, a place of peace. And so that world, which is just for the sake of kind of some description, we say is beyond the universe, but that's just one way of understanding it, a simple way. But that dimension is an abode or a place of residence where when you the soul, fly there with your mind, you can feel so safe, so peaceful. Because it's a world of stillness, a world of safety, a world of quietness. Nothing happens. You are just you, the eternal soul. So maybe we can have a little experience of this and then we can have a Q&A. How does that sound? I take that all as a yes. So relax again, sitting alert. Take a deep breath in and breathe out slowly, completely. Breathe in normally. And becoming aware of your body sitting where it is. Moving your consciousness up your body. And bringing your attention, your awareness to the center of your forehead. Becoming conscious of yourself as the spiritual being. And this may be clear, it may be vague, but however it works, just go with the flow. And making it clear to the self, I am a peaceful soul. A living light inside the body. A living energy. And now to emerge in the mind. That far beyond the universe, it's merely another dimension. There is the world of sweet, sweet silence. It's a world of unlimited peace and stillness. So let the self fly there. Take the self of the mind to that world of light, often experienced as a golden red light. But however you see it or feel it, that is just fine. As you fly to this world of light with your mind, leaving your body behind, sitting comfortably, and it's you, the soul, the being of light. The being of light, light of love, light of peace, floating. Floating in this element of stillness. And in this element of stillness, quietness, there's so much safety. The whole world, the whole dimension is one of safety, protection. It's being at home, the true home. Just imagine being this lovely form of light, being of light, just floating in infinite, sweet silence. Savor that moment of sweet, sweet silence. You, the soul alone. The being of peace in the world of peace. Peace in your heart and your mind. Peace in the world, in your world. And savoring those feelings. And knowing that this home has always been there and always will be. Gently return to the world of matter and sitting in the forehead of your own body, feeling totally relaxed and rejuvenated. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Okay. So just a little bit of time for a quick Q&A if anyone's got a question. And I shall give an essenceful answer, bearing in mind time. So if you'd like to just type it into the chat, how Sally says, how do we remain a soul having a human experience in a grounded way with a spiritual influence every day? Let's do a little bit of poetry. It's always been the soul having a human experience. So from the moment we come in the world, we become human being, the soul with the body, human being. So human experience is default anyway. You don't have to do anything about that. But to have the spiritual influence within that, really the way is to remind yourself who you are. And one of the best ways to do that, every day study something about the self as the soul through, writings or your videos, and also meditation. So it's knowledge and meditation. So the meditation cleans the intellect, enables you to understand more clearly and deeply, and actually cleans the soul. And the knowledge gives you greater clarity, deeper understanding, which allows you to go far deeper in your meditation. So the two go together, like two wheels of the cart, understanding, knowledge, and meditation. And when you have both, the cart is moving, your soul is moving, you, the soul, are moving. And then we can have that spiritual influence throughout us every day. It's a wonderful thing to make that one of the prime objectives. You've got all your physical objectives in the day anyway, you know what they are. But to make the foundational one a spiritual experience, and then you remain free. And it's very powerful. People who apply this in their life, they are really, really effective. They're not influenced, they're observers, they have more clarity, they can be tolerant, they can face difficult situations, challenging personalities. So it's a really, really effective life skill. So it makes you far more effective in practical life, as well as giving an ability to go deeply into a spiritual experience. So many thanks to Neha and Audrey and Carol. And Kathleen, does the soul select the type of physical experience it wants to go through? Because the soul is you. So you are the soul who is having the awareness of being Kathleen in your case. So it's like our thoughts, words and actions keep steering us in a particular direction. So it's like we're choosing our destiny moment by moment, step by step. And so we are actually choosing the kind of physical experience, but very rarely does someone very consciously choose the physical experience they want to have. Yeah, people have goals and aims in life, but very often they're physically orientated because they believe, even without thinking it through, that attaining something or another will give them a feeling. And so it's really the feeling you're looking for. So that's why it's good to think of the self as the soul and practice meditation so you can gain the experience without the dependency on the physical. Of course, we want the physical still because we're in the physical world, and so we want our cake and eat it in this case. So lovely talk. Thank you, Sue, Chris Moon, thank you.
How to, thanks to anxiety and fear and the panicness and everything, because of that, we are here in a Brahma Kumari. That's the reason we are doing like a medication, mm-hmm. dhyan and everything, chanting and everything. So if the black color doesn't exist, we are not loving the green, blue, white, purple. So fear is a good, but don't stick there. Just enjoy the medication, dhyan, you can enjoy it. So sometimes we don't have to be so much fearless. Just take it easy. That's my experience.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Vicky. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Claire. Thank you for that sharing, Snehal. Okay, so thank you very much for coming along. Got a question for you. Is there anything that you want to know about overcoming insecurity? Because that way I can ask Antonella Ferrari to come in October. So if there's a question that you would like to go deeper into or that hasn't been covered, or anything actually, have you got a question? So please type that in the chat. Okay, well, maybe what stops the cell from moving forward? That's a question for Antonella, I take it, Sally. Oh yes, Vicky said, if we think of something afterwards, can we email you the question? Yeah, definitely email the question. So if you, because I know the time is up and people have got plans. So yeah, if you've got any question regarding insecurity, then email it into the Lighthouse Retreat Center email address. It's on the website. And then we can prepare that one for Antonella. I think what we do, we give her a title which includes this, but maybe gives her a chance to speak about something else as well. It's just going to be in October. And I'll take a note of your question, Sally. What stops herself from moving forward? So thank you very much. Next week we have got Reclaim Your Power. So that one is by Iona Goga, who comes from Romania. And so the details are on the website. And she's a very good presenter and speaker, actually. People really like how she presents. So do come along to that one next week. Plus, we've got regular meditations going on through the week. And actually, if you've got any recommendations or any suggestions regarding events or themes or subjects that you'd like us to explore, we're really, really happy to receive them, because we'd much rather talk about something that you want to know about rather than just pulling them out of a bag. So please, very open to send us ideas. Okay, so thank you very, very much. And look forward to seeing you next week, when I should be the MC again, not the speaker. So take care and have a wonderful week. Om Shanti. Thank you, Vicky. Thank you, Sally.